Today, as we celebrate this wonderful feast, the Holy Family of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, we reflect upon the fact that the Holy Family that is presented to us in this image, in these people, becomes for us a symbol of what every family should be like. It is a special glimpse into that community and unity with God and with one another that should make up the Holy Family, should make up our human family as we gather together as a people of God, as we live together with each other and for one another as well. And the scriptures today overwhelm us with these phrases and these details, these definitions about the qualities that should characterize the human family. Respect for one another and reverence of each other. The idea of being kind and kindliness in our relationship with each other. To have the ability to forgive each other just as God has forgiven us in Jesus Christ. And how important forgiveness is again and again. That love and peace and responsibility are all part of that relationship on the foundational life of the family. And these biblical terms, these biblical items, reflect for us the harmony and the working together that should characterize every human family. And we go back to these virtues and these values, and we nurture and nourish them with our own family as well. In Paul's letter today, as we read through this, we always get caught up in that phrase, wives, be submissive to your husbands. And it's like we've just stepped into a bunch of thorns or thistles, and we bristle at that, we pull away. How can Paul talk about this? And we miss the rest of the reading. We miss what Paul has been saying. The idea that a relationship should nurture and nourish the other. And because we nurture this other individual, and that there's this relationship of love and care and compassion, that just as wives be submissive to husbands, then also love your wives as Christ loved the church. And when we reflect upon that carefully, what that looks like, we see the Paschal mystery. We see the ability to die to ourselves and to live for the other. Live always for the good of the other individual, the other members of our household and our family as well. That we might nurture a place, a space of light, happiness, and peace wherever we are. That we grow to each other and for one another as well. Mary asked the question today, why have you done this to us, of Jesus? We might reflect upon that in our own lives as well. The Vatican Council, Second Vatican Council, on the constitution of the church in the modern world, gives us a glimpse of family life. And the Second Vatican Council says, all human life, whether individual or collective, shows itself to be a dramatic struggle between good and evil, between light and darkness. Indeed, men and women find that by themselves they are incapable of battling the assault of evil successfully, so that everyone feels as though they are absolutely bound by chains. But the Lord Jesus himself came to free and strengthen men and women, renewing them inwardly and casting out that prince of this world who held him in the bondage of sin. So the idea we come together, that community, that communion of the family, that as we work together for those good things, as we work together for those awesome things, those beautiful things, those true things, as a community and a family, that we cast out the evil from our midst, that we become then a sign and a symbol of the light, the happiness, and peace within ourselves, because we work together, always fostering a holy relationship, a sacred relationship with each other and for one another as well. That's how we live in the family life, or that's how we should live in family life. And that's a difficult thing sometimes, it's a task. And the child Jesus today shows us something, what it means and how we do that. Jesus sort of disturbed that family's internal harmony we read today, but for a very good reason. But we see in our world today, in our culture today, the human family is being disturbed for the things that are base, for things that are evil, things that are sinful, things that have nothing to do with God. Why have you done this to us? This should be a question that we ask each and every one of our day of the culture around us. Because it must be impressed upon us that our family and family life in the world today is disturbed. And the unity of the human family is broken apart by so many factions, so many factors. There are oppressors. There are places, peace, people, and spaces that sort of pull us apart and try to degrade the holiness and the sacredness of the human family. We see in our world today the disregard of human life and family life, especially at the most vulnerable, before birth, and the elderly as well, as human life is not always respected. It is sort of the second choice that we make, or it becomes a convenience. We see that in the degradation of the respect for men and women. We see so often that greed and selfishness sort of takes priority in our world today. And it always even infiltrates the family life as well. We think to ourselves, if I have a lot of stuff, my family life is really good. If I have a lot of things in my life, well, that's a really good thing. The more louder, the shinier, all those good things, that's what really makes up my family life, we think to ourselves. And all these dominate our minds and our hearts oftentimes. And so we disregard the goodness that in relationships offer each and every one of us. And even the larger sense, the larger world around us, that we aren't always good stewards of the things we've been given, the gifts we've been given. We're not always good stewards of our relationships with one another, taking responsibility for our faith and for one another as well. And our children, how often we hear about the abuse of children in so many different ways in our world today. And I was sharing with my 8 o'clock mass crowd the problems of pornography today. That fourth graders are now downloading pornography from the internet. And I think to myself, how terrible that is. You know, you think about that. And it's just absolutely awful. But we neglect the younger ones, we neglect the older ones. We allow the instigation of war and violence in our world today. So today, the question is, how do we find God? Well, we find God by finding Jesus in his Father's house. We need the Word of God made flesh. We need to ponder the Word of God made flesh and really reflect upon what that means, that Jesus Christ comes into our lives and sanctifies our human flesh, sanctifies and blesses our human relationships, sanctifies and that relationship that we call a family, that sacred bond that we have with each other, that just as we walk with Jesus Christ, he walks with us in sacred ground as well. We understand that we come together here for the Eucharist. The bread of life feeds and nurtures us and nourishes us as well. And at some point in time, we need to understand that the Christian family follows a similar path as the Holy Family. In today's world, it can seem that we lost Jesus, but we are able to find him in God's house. And Jesus says, why have you been looking for me all over the place? Here I am, in my Father's house. This is where you find me, in the Father's house. This is where you'll discover me. And what am I doing? I'm talking to the wise figures, those who have wisdom, those who ponder the Word of God. I'm seeking out their wisdom, their understanding, their knowledge, their guidance, their direction, their strength. Here I am, my Father's house, and this is where you'll find me. As a family, we need to realize that this is the springboard of what it means to live as a family as well. Whenever I do weddings, one of the things I remind the young couple, and people probably know about this, that they're waiting for that phrase in my homily now when I do weddings. But I always remind the young couple, I always ask, I say, look out there in the congregation. Here's all your resources for your married life, for the rest of your life. Here's all your aunts and uncles and your friends and family members. And I always put this challenge to them. I always say to them, you know, look at the young people that are here, the children or the teenagers who someday will want to be married. My challenge to the young couple who's starting out marriage is just as we use these people around us here in this community, this faith community, as resources, that their marriage, our prayers, that their marriage be so unified, so much in a sense of communion, a source of love, and a sign of love, that young children will look at them and go, you know, I want my marriage to be like Annabelle and Otis. I want to be just like them when we get married. And that's the challenge. That should be the challenge for each and every one of us, that we build up our relationship so well, so profoundly in God's image and likeness that people want to be just like us. And at some point, we need to discern that particular role that we play in the Holy Family of God, the body of Christ. And only through extended listening and questioning will we grow in the wisdom necessary to follow Christ in the Father's house. And this process might well mystify the people who know us the best, but when we find the place that God has made for us, we will, like Jesus Christ and Mary and Joseph, feel right at home. Amen.